graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just have to say that there is no worse podcast in the entire world about professional wrestling than Suplex City Limits. Okay, it's absolutely terrible. It's the worst thing going today. I wouldn't recommend it to my worst enemies. They're terrible. Tyler, he's Canadian. Everyone hates Canadians. We know that. They're the worst thing in the world. Next to Jim. Jim's an absolute horrible person. Pretty sure he's Mexican. Build that wall. Get rid of these two. They're absolutely terrible. Someone else should host this podcast.
Fuck Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah.
I like white folks, but I don't like you. All the niggas in the hood wanna fight you. Surprise El Chapo ain't tried to snipe you. Surprise the nation of Islam ain't tried to find you. Have a rally out LA, we gon' fuck it up. Home of the ride and the king ride, we don't give a fuck. Black students, ejected from your...
Welcome, thank you for downloading episode 122 of Suplex City Limits for August 12, 2017. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints. It's your boy, the king of bong style, Jim Vicious. And he is known in Japan as the monster with many mouths. My co-host...
Oh man, I roar the monster with many mouths. I'll eat you with my ass, my dick, or my mouth. I don't know. I'm Tyler Fudge. This is Jim. Jim. The monster with many mouths is going to talk to you through his ass right now. So take it over.
I just throw something at him and just see what he does with it every week.
That one really caught me off guard. I was like, oh my god, what can I do with many mouths? They're all sexual.
This week we are joined by co-owner of Fully Loaded Wrestling, pro wrestling booker, co-host of Pay-Per-View Take Two podcast with yours truly, and our good buddy, Jared. What's up, sir?
What's happening, fellas? I'm excited to be here. I'm like Ahmed Johnson. I'm so excited. I had to work in an Ahmed Johnson spot, and like halfway through, I'm like, Jared, you don't know what you're doing here. Get out of it.
Hey, man. I got respect for the Pearl River Plunge, I tell you that.
Dusty. I got him on my mind because I was watching the 1996 Royal Rumble and he kicked ass in that thing. I remember loving that guy as a kid. I was like, he should be WWE champion. I've never been champion.
I loved his knee pads as a kid. I thought it was great. Those red thigh highs, whatever the fuck he used to have.
He just basically came with leg armor.
Yeah.
Like his entire leg was just covered in armor. He was ready for war. And then he had his kidneys kicked by Farouk.
Welcome to our Ahmed Johnson fan cast. Suplex City Limits available for listening where fine podcasts are found. You can follow us on Twitter at Suplex City Limit. You can also follow Tyler at The Federation. You should also follow Fully Wrestling. Oh, it is Wrestling? Fully Loaded Pro. Bam.
Sorry. Fully Loaded Pro. Fully Loaded Wrestling was too long of a Twitter handle. They wouldn't let us have it.
Definitely. And if you like the show, you can pick up a t-shirt of Pro Wrestling Tees. We have four designs available, shipping worldwide, sizes small to 5XL. And you can also donate on Patreon to help keep the lights on, like Bad Motherfuckers Casey, the Wrestling Soup Podcast. Much love to Mission Joey. The Mizcast, infamous Chris Savage, the killer Keith Martin, and listen up, you dolts, it's Jeremy fucking Foltz.
What did you call him? Listen up, you dolts? What's dolts?
Yeah, adult. Adult is a stupid person.
Oh, nice. Adult's like a really polite way of calling someone retarded.
So it's like a nimpy or whatever.
Like sure. A Eugene.
Half a Momo.
Mongoloid.
A Momo, yeah. A mongoloid. This week on the podcast of the Immortals, I'm just going to keep moving, we will be covering New Japan G1, WWE, NXT.
It's so bad. G1 is so bad.
Yeah, it sucks so terrible much wrestling. This year.
What else we got? Lucha Underground, the week in wrestling. We'll play a game. Who knows what else we'll get into here. So maybe there'll be something very fucking weird at the end of the show.
It's possible. We're still debating on whether or not it shows up. So
I say whatever it is, you just do it. At this point, you guys have like 11 listeners, and they're hardcore fans. They're like, whatever you do, you've narrowed it down to those 11 people. One of which doesn't even speak English.
Maybe Trump. maybe Trump will like us after this.
Yeah. He just likes the soothing sound of our voices.
Yeah, that's true.
The guy who doesn't speak English.
No, could you imagine if someone in like Norway was learning English from you guys?
Oh, oh man. It's like
fucking abortion, cunt.
It would be like learning English from the Trailer Park Customs. Boys.
Yeah, it would just be a lot of cunts and abortions.
I thought that's what you called people.
It's such an endearing quality.
Euphemism.
Do we have that? Do we have our new fucking sample for that? Speaking of abortions?
Oh, do we?
The Enzo only podcast that abortion. Has ever said speaking of abortions.
Oh, Enzo is a fucking abortion. Enzo is a fucking abortion.
I had to play it three times, but... Hey, fuck it. Fuck it.
Enzo is a fucking abortion.
dude, that fucking shoots great, actually.
I watched the whole thing. It is really good, isn't it?
I might come back around on that guy. I might actually like fucking Aiden English. Oh, he's not Aiden English. I'm sorry. What the fuck is his name? Simon Gotch. I'm already baked, so. Go ahead and, if you have the checklist, go ahead and check off Stoned as Fuck. Now all we got to do is recap the week in wrestling, and let's do that by starting off with the week's news.
Oh.
Jesus.
Every time. Anyways. More injury troubles for the Revival, and Tina the Talking Tummy starts a Twitter feud. Over to you, Jim.
I'm Jim Vicious, and this is the motherfucking news. Let's get into the news here. What do you think for the top stories of the week? What do you want to talk about?
I didn't. You know what? There wasn't. Did I live under a rock this week and just not hear much for news? Or
Well, there wasn't like a big story or anything. Nobody's got suspended or fired.
Bailey's injured, you guys. This is a big deal.
Oh no.
Like, she has a hurt shoulder. She can't hug, and then Canada shit on her. Like, this has been a bad week for Bailey.
Oh, it's great, man. I was like, we'll get into that when we cover Raw, but oh my god, I loved when they were just fucking destroyed her in the ring. I liked that Toronto crowd. I thought they were great.
It made me proud to be Canadian, I can guarantee you that right now.
Yeah, exactly. You're way cooler crowd than the other places. But so we'll talk about Baron Corbin, dude, because this is like the thing that pissed me off kind of this week in wrestling. You guys follow this, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin responds to Dave Meltzer, who says that Corbin is an example of WWE's fetish with tall guys. And Corbin goes to the classic, you know, the one that Roman Reigns likes to use too. What matches and promos has Dave Meltzer done? Oh, none. He's an old man who could never do what anyone on the roster can or could. You don't have to be a chef to, you know, to say that a fucking plate of food sucks, right?
No.
You don't have to
I guess.
Go ahead.
I guess Roger Ebert should have never reviewed movies.
Yeah, never.
Didn't he make a terrible movie or write a terrible movie eventually?
He did eventually.
He was a critic for a really long time, and then he made a terrible movie. So maybe Baron's up onto something here.
Shows you for fucking trying.
Yeah, but dude,
yeah, this jerk.
The idea that I need to fucking take a bump to know anything about wrestling. It's fucking absurd, dude. Baron Corbin is the shits. But they continue to argue. Well, not even argue. Like, Corbin continued to bury himself, and Meltzer just, like, out-ninja'd him completely.
He just gave him, he's handed him the shovel with which to bury himself.
Exactly. It's fucking
because, like, Meltzer was kind of being nice, like, to him. He was saying that, you know, Baron's okay, he's got a shot at being decent. He said he could have a good run with a guy like Kevin Owens, but he's not ready to carry a feud. And Baron's like, no, I'm ready to do it all.
I played in the NFL.
Did he make it briefly?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, he was an Arizona Cardinal for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave Meltzer at one point says, think before tweeting. By that logic, your boss had no right to judge anyone in wrestling until 1998. Muchnick never had the right. Don't act like Baron Corbin knows who fucking Sam Muchnick is.
No, not a goddamn chance. He didn't know Apollo Crews was never in ROH.
He doesn't know anything about wrestling, man. So, yeah, he's the shits, and he's dumb. And he blocked us a long time ago.
So that's a win in my book.
Yeah,
I couldn't even see these things. He's so fucking silly, that bitch. And he's totally not ready to be anything, to be the champion, dude.
Well, I think the funniest part about that was that he unblocked Dave Meltzer to, like, lob shots at him. Like, yeah. You know, he still, like, peeks at his at Meltzer's Twitter, and he was like, oh, I better say something. Like a jilted ex. He still just checks out all his Facebook and Twitter shit.
Everyone does. Everybody does, right? I mean, you know that everybody fucking pays attention to what Meltzer does and says.
I'll say this. I am blocked by Roseanne Barr on Twitter. I have never once gone to see what she said. I have not seeked it out.
Why are
I'm
you
fine with that block.
What Why did you say about Roseanne?
I love Roseanne. Like, as
a person. This was like 4 years ago. I can't even remember what got me blocked. I just remember being blocked by Roseanne Barr. I think I said something about, like, she was having, like, a Twitter Q&A, and I told her the last season of Roseanne was absolute shit. Because it was. Yeah. And it was enough to get blocked.
That was a fucking... the last episode of Roseanne was a fucking cop-out, man.
That last season was just so fucking bad. And I want to say that, hey, while she blocked me, Hollywood blocked her because of that last season. She hasn't been seen in like 15 years.
But they're bringing back. But they're bringing back Roseanne with her dead husband alive again.
Yeah, I watch the shit out of it. I love Roseanne.
I will too. She's
fucking great, man. Remember she, like, back at the height of that too? She posed on the. For, like, some kind of a magazine, I don't know, whatever it is, but she's, like, pulling super burnt gingerbread men out of an oven dressed as Hitler. Like, she's fucking crazy, man. She did that.
She ran for president, too. Like, as, like, the Green Party candidate in, like, 2012.
Yeah, now she has, like, a fucking nut farm in Hawaii or something. Sits around and gets stoned all day. That's what she does.
And watching like
Ahmed Johnson Roseanne Barr fan cast. Send all your Ahmed Johnson and Roseanne Barr questions to @ Roseanne Barr Ahmed Johnson show.
It's kind of happening, boys.
It's the show where two of our favorite things intersect. Talk about Takayama.
Yes.
From that, we shift gears to Yoshihiro Takayama being paralyzed.
Yeah, apparently been paralyzed too for a while now. It's just been kept quiet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got blocked. Speaking of being blocked, I got blocked on Facebook by a news site who literally used clickbait. They used a picture with a question mark and used clickbait to get you to click on to see who got paralyzed. And I called them fucks for it. I'm like, you do not use clickbait on someone's serious life altering injury, you fuck sticks.
Yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's hard for us to ever say, like, well, that's a shitty thing to do, because, like, that's sort of our gimmick around here.
You know? You say offensive things, but you wouldn't do something like that. There's just something lower about, like, here's a paralyzed guy, let's make some money off it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no.
We wouldn't make jokes.
You guys aren't making money off this, so say whatever you want. As long as you're not making money for it, it's fine.
The same guy who, like, dropped a whole fucking draws wheelchair joke in one of his guest appearances.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm not getting paid for it, so it's fine.
As long as you do it for free, you can say whatever you want. I'm pretty sure it's in the Geneva Convention, dude.
It's in the Magna Carta.
Yeah, but I'm sure you guys will pull out of that at some point in time.
Yeah.
I don't pull out anything.
Yeah, yeah. That's my boy.
Yeah, Trump never pulls out, dude. That's why he has all those fucking American Psycho-looking kids. We're not here to talk about politics. We're here to talk about... How about that message, though? How about that message from the president in the open, huh?
Oh, you know what?
I'm just...
What?
Where does he find the time, you know? Where does he find the time?
It's probably taking a shit. That's where he gets a lot of
it. He just listens to it on Air Force One. But, like, why do you listen if you hate it? Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, why do you hate listening?
It's cool.
What else do we have in the news this week?
Did you hear about how Mr. 450 said that Shannon Moore fucked his wife and beat her?
Wow, I did not hear about
that. No, this is the same guy that was arrested, like, a month ago for beating his wife. But he says it was Shannon Moore.
And also trying to, like, go to WWE and wrestle.
Yeah.
And then act like he got hurt in a match there, when in fact he was hurt, like, a week or two before that.
He seems like an all-around good guy.
Yeah. I have a Mr. 450 Mr. 450 shirt, but not because I actually bought it. I got it on Pro Wrestling Tees when I was buying a Suplex City Limits shirt, by the way. Oh. And they do that throw in a shirt for $7, and they'll just throw in whatever shirt that's lying around. They threw it in there, so I have one.
Here's a shirt of a guy who is just found fucking guilty of like beating his wife and faking injury and shit. Here, have one of his shirts.
So I shouldn't wear that shirt.
Yeah, right. I mean, fuck it.
It's a comfortable tee. Like, all pro wrestling t-shirts are comfortable tees, and you can get your Suplex City Limits tee.
Yeah.
ProWrestlingTees.com.
He's a better co-host than me, Jim.
Oh, no. He's just a whore for fucking marketing.
I'm a whore!
And WWE's canceled another show. I know we regretfully mourn the loss of Kathy Kelly's NXT Insider show.
That was a thing?
No!
I don't know what it was. What was it even called?
I don't know. I've never heard of it before. This is the first time.
It aired on WWE's social media platforms, dude. Oh. How much money does that save? Does that save any money at all?
No. It can't
How about
be.
Fucking stop paying the Big Show? That might save some money. You know?
Save on catering.
Definitely save on
that joke. Doesn't work anymore. He's not fat anymore. That joke would have worked like in the late 90s.
No. Still probably eats a fuckload.
Well, I mean, Jesus, you gotta keep that frame up somehow.
Rejoice, wrestling fans. Darren Young is healed from his injury.
Thank God.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was gonna do.
I've missed him so much.
He'll be back spreading gay mediocrity in no time.
Jesus Christ.
He is like the most boring gay dude I've ever met in my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, like, most gay dudes have tons of charisma. You know what I'm saying? They're like, he's got none of it, man.
Nope. None of it at all. But, yeah.
Go ahead.
There's another. Speaking of, you know, like, gay, I guess. Dolph Ziggler's getting repackaged.
I saw that, dude. I saw the talk about that. I hope he needs to come back as something just fucking ridiculous, dude.
Something you know? Less like, gay than what he is now?
Like, he's just a cowboy now or something, you know? Or maybe he's like a man of war, you know? Not a Portuguese,
it's like,
one, like a different one.
He should come out as, like, Chuck Taylor was going through a list of gimmicks he had or names he had, and one was like, "No gimmicks needed, Steve the Samurai." So that was like the greatest name for a wrestler ever. And I'm like, Dolph Ziggler, just do that. No gimmick needed, Dolph Ziggler the Samurai. I don't know. I'll be out here, guys. There's a half baked idea here somewhere. You guys are baked. Finish it off. Come on.
Well, I mean, you could have him, you know, you could dye his hair black, you know, you could paint around his eyes. You can give him plastic surgery, give him slanted eyes if you wanted to.
See, someone's trying here, Jim.
I'm sorry. I don't have any ideas for Dolph Ziggler that don't involve just firing him. You know?
Yeah.
So, well, what if we give him a storyline where he had sex with a dead person?
Maybe. It's
it could be that. Like, you know, Katie or... You know, something like that.
Do you see this?
And then she'll give birth to a hand.
I expect Jim Cornette has exploded. His head has exploded because Mick Foley put the mandible claw on Joey Ryan's balls. What a fucking great spot that is.
Yeah, Jim Cornette went on a Twitter, had a couple tweets about it, and he said he makes more money just sitting down talking about wrestling than Joey Ryan makes actually wrestling than Joey Ryan's. Like, hey, let's compare W-2s. Or something like that, or compare IRS forms, and Jim Cornette said something back. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, dude, I thought it was a great spot. I love shit like that. Wrestling is fun. Come on, Jim.
Yeah. What is ruin the goddamn business, Jim.
But I'll listen to him bury it because I'll fucking listen to him. There's backstage talk on Jason Jordan turning heel. Obviously, that is not working, so I wouldn't fucking
know.
It's
like the only way to go with this story from the beginning. Like, you made it up and lied, you know?
I don't know how you get a better position. Not that they would give a shit about knocking out all the holes in that either, but I mean, there's so many holes in that. Like, how the fuck, you know, where it turns out that it is Gable or something. And there's so many holes to that. There's more holes in that than the Monster of Many Mouths.
When would he have had to fuck to have Jason Jordan? How old is Jason Jordan?
I think he's like 26.
Oh, I thought Jason's. Jordan, is he younger? Yeah, because Gable's like 30 some. 30, 32.
So if he would have to have fucked her in what, like 91?
I don't know, dude. It doesn't.
Let's not overthink this, all right? Because they clearly didn't.
Yeah, right, exactly. Anyone could have fucking told you that a fucking father son gimmick would be just like completely awful, no matter what you did with it or who you did it with. Unless you did it maybe with Gable and made it funny. And it'd be like him and fucking Angle, you know, fishing, and him and Angle, like him showing Gable how to ride a bike and shit, you know? How fucking good would that be? I just thought of that.
That's much better than what they would have done now with that.
Him, like, running behind a bike with Chad, like, Gable is fucking riding it. Oh, man. I don't know.
I will say this, though. The My Black Son video that came from this makes the angle totally worth it.
It's true.
Also, he's a ninja.
Oh, Dolph Ziggler comes in.
We tied it back.
See?
He should have a job there. Not Jim. He's not even adding anything to this. He's just reading the news. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Call back. I'm fucking driving the car over here.
We're currently covering your eyes and he's trying to get his foot on the pedals.
Yeah, I'm tugging on your seatbelt.
Did you guys see Styles and Owens making cameos in the latest episode of Being the Elite? How fucking awesome is that?
That's pretty great.
No, I didn't, actually.
Do you think they'll heal shit for that?
No, I doubt it.
You just think it's, like, so under the radar that nobody knows? Or, dude, come on, they would have to.
Well, like, a part of it, too, is that I would imagine WWE wants the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega in the worst way. And they would probably look at this as a close, you know, they're getting closer to it, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, if Xavier Woods doesn't get heat for playing Kenny Omega in a video game, like actually like playing him in a video game live in front of a bunch of people, then WWE doesn't give a shit.
No.
One, Vince would have to know what the internet is outside of internet porn and looking at people's delts. And there's nobody in that company that gives a shit about watching the Elite, so I doubt they spend any time thinking about it.
And also the internet for, as we saw on Monday Night Raw, looking up palms, looking at hands.
Yeah,
someone tell me weird. Someone tell me what the fuck was going on with that.
He's just super in hands.
Yeah, like
he's learning palm reading as part of Ziggler's new repackaging. He's going to be a psychic,
fortune teller. With a fucking shitty Jamaican accent. Let me tell you me fortune.
No gimmick needed. The psychic Dolph Ziggler.
The maybe Jamaican psychic.
Maybe he's a practitioner of black magic. You know?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well, he's not black.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good when your joke falls flat, does it, Jim?
That was me, like, taking a fucking, like... I go for the tope, neither of you motherfuckers catch me.
Trent redded you. Just let it fall.
Oh, fuck, we Nia Jax'd you. Yeah. But man, if you haven't seen it, basically they're talking in front of the camera, the Young Bucks are, and Owens walks by behind, stops, and like looks at his watch, and then keeps walking. And then later Zayn comes up behind him and asks if they have the time, and they tell him the time without looking at him. It's whatever, but I enjoyed it. It was pretty cool. You hear that Gabe Sapolsky allegedly doing creative at NXT?
Yeah, which...
I haven't heard of that.
I heard about it this morning, actually.
Pretty fucking random. He's been seen around there. There's people saying that that's what he's doing now, but he still holds that position with... But WWN Live is the...
He's a yeah, Evolve mostly.
He's the Vice President of Talent Relations, Creative, and Marketing. Evidently he's been doing some creative down there. And what do you think of that? I mean, what do you think of his booking, usually?
I think he's a super talented booker. I think he definitely goes for the shock moment, so you can tell he'd learned at the feet of Paul Heyman. But I think he's super talented.
It's the only issue I would have with it is just it's a little bare bones, if you ask me. Like, I don't know. There's only so much of the just straight wrestling I want to watch.
Right.
And that's what I always see evolve as. It was,
yeah. Yeah. Where has he done booking? Is all the, like, what has his career in booking looked like?
Well, he's done ROH some work and stuff, didn't he?
Yeah. He did ROH. He did Dragon Gate for a while. And now he does Evolve. I'm sure there's been other stuff in there, but he worked for ECW as well.
Yeah.
Well, it was like Paul Heyman's like guy there for a while.
I guess I'd have to know exactly what era of Ring of Honor was his shit.
Like the start.
All the stars.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that we're doing on the Federation. That might be why I got a little. I don't know. It's a little weird. The start of ROH, the booking in ROH is a little odd. At the start of it is just, I don't know, the weird characters they got going through Special K and stuff like that. But I don't know. I haven't watched enough of Evolve either to really know if Gabe's, you know, what Gabe's booking style is like. Yeah.
It can't be worse at fucking writing than fucking Mick Foley's half a Momo son.
Well, though, yeah, but he's just getting coffee. See, so
I think he might be actually writing now. I don't know. Yeah, he's probably still getting coffee.
But have you heard? Like, apparently, like if you ask a lot of former writers of the WWE what stuff they've gotten on TV, and they'll say like basically nothing.
Greenfield got some shit on there.
Well, yeah, yeah, that was smack.
But yeah, I know what you. That's just that. We didn't get to mention it last week. I don't know why, but GFW had a bunch of like really embarrassing shows in like New York and Connecticut. I kind of mentioned it last week, and then I didn't actually pay it off. I totally forgot. But I kicked the hornet's nest last week by posting some photos of the crowd. And dude, these people, they're like fucking Holocaust deniers, dude. These people, they come out, they're like fucking 9/11 truthers or something. Like, not even, they're worse than that.
They just come out of the woodworks. They just come out of nowhere. It's like you're in this big field, and just a slew of people start walking from the trees. It's like,
they're trying to like quantify it, and it's like, dude, like, you're a fucking asshole. Like, I posted a picture of the crowd. Like, I didn't do anything. Like, how can you? There's empty spots. People have their bags sitting on seats in like the third row, motherfucker.
It's a conspiracy theory against him, you know? It's a conspiracy against GFW.
See, Jim, you photoshopped those people out, Jim. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, well, they're rebuilding fuckies, and they didn't expect to sell out. Oh, what? People were saying
I know.
They weren't expecting to sell out, so that's okay? Like, what the fuck?
Well, I know when I'm booking a show, I go, all right, here's the thing. We're only going to put like 20 people in here, but hey, we're only expecting 20 people. So good job, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
Hit our numbers. Woo.
Yeah. Oh man. It's pretty fucking ridiculous. They ran this ballpark, I guess, like, I don't know. They drew like 250 in a ballpark, which I don't know what your guys' feelings are. To me, stop it. Stop having wrestling in a ballpark. I think it's fucking awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you pay me to be there, then I'll be there. But if I'm trying to actually get people to the show to pay me, no fucking way I'm doing it, because it's never going to look good, ever.
It sucks. Yeah. So they're there, and the funny thing is, like, they're, you know, all been making all these excuses. Big Time Wrestling had a show, like, the night before in Rhode Island, which is right there with, you know, Connecticut and all these other places they ran. They drew 1,800 in a ballpark, dude.
That's a lot.
So they're doing better.
Yeah. GFW gets fucking 250.
Hold on. I'm not good at math, but is 1,800 more than 250?
I think so. I think it's
like 11 more people, I'm pretty sure.
I think it's 9 times the people, actually.
So
like 9 more people, then? Is that what you mean?
Yes, Bob Cottle.
But yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. And I spent arguing with these people is like, it's something else altogether. It's something to behold. They are fucking a sick bunch of people. the fucking GFW. I'm going to call them GFW truthers, I think. That's a But that's about all I've got for news, unless you guys got anything else.
I got nothing else for news.
McMahon is evidently furious at Nakamura for dropping his boy back.
The only person who said that is Bleacher Report. Never believe anything Bleacher Report says. Fuck those guys. Bury them.
Fuck up.
Wait, no.
Because if you learned anything from the from
that's okay.
Ruined our sample.
I'm sure there'll be another burial sometime in this show.
I want to hear it. Now we're in.
What are you doing? I'm burying you.
Awesome. Well, I mean, if you've learned anything from the Bruce Pritchard podcast, it's like Vince doesn't get mad when people get hurt because he realizes it's part of the business. So like all these stories, I say, well, Vince is mad about this. Like, no, because pretty much everyone who works in the back, like Bruce Pritchard, JR, they all say the same thing. Vince understands people get hurt in wrestling, and they hardly ever hold it against guys unless you consistently do it and are an actual dangerous worker. But like a one-off like this, nah.
There you go. What do we want to do here? That's all the news.
I want to do the G1 climax.
Get you want to talk about some G1?
Let's talk about some G1. I got no music for G1, so.
Oh, we don't? I thought we had some one time, but you don't have it anymore.
That's not all.
No,
it's
not a G1!
It's a little Kenny Omega, son!
And Kashaki! No, wait, no. Okada Kashakina! You gotta say their names reverse, see?
Naito
Ishii Tomohiro!
I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so. All right. I'm going to throw it over to you guys as the special G1 correspondents because real you quick, have a better grasp of what's going on than I do. I'm just watching matches.
All right. So, real quick, spoiler alerts here. So, if you have not watched the latest G1, just skip this part if you don't want it ruined for you.
Yeah. If you haven't watched Omega Okada 3 yet. Hit
three,
pause,
two,
go do it.
Yeah.
And come
three,
back.
Three, two, one, and go. All right, so I thought this was up there. This was up there with the other two, considering that they had to do it in a half hour. Okada Omega, that was as good as the other two.
Well, and they played that really well in the story too by going gun ho right at the beginning because they know they got to get this done fast. You know.
Yeah, I thought they might have been doing I thought they were doing like a Goldberg Lesnar thing at the beginning there when I thought Kenny was actually going to hit the one wing angel because like. Yeah, I mean, and then Okada comes into this selling his injuries perfectly from his match with Suzuki and Evil.
Yeah.
So he's coming in all taped up. He's looking like he's just completely beat to shit and he can't do anything. And then commentary, I don't know if you guys listen to the English or the Japanese, but the English commentary did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
because Rocky Romero.
And like the day before on the Block A finals, they were teasing how he couldn't kip up in their match against... Takahashi and Omega.
Awesome.
And now in this match too, it was the same thing. He still couldn't keep up. Oh, just beautiful.
The level, this goes for most of these matches that we've been watching with the G1. The attention to detail and like just the nuances to it are fucking ridiculous, man.
It is. This is it's the best month of wrestling of the year.
It is.
And they totally.
Totally.
They always do this where, like, one guy gets a serious injury, and then he has to try to win with that serious injury. In the WWE, you barely even see guys continue their selling it in a match. Like, by the end of the match, John Cena's lifting both his arms high in the air despite selling his shoulder the whole match. Like, Okada was beat to shit, and he's been beat to shit for several matches now. And Kenny's had an easier, in my opinion, he's had an easier run here. He had the knee injury early on, but he's worked through it and he's looked better and he looks healthier. And him versus Naito is going to be unbelievable.
It is,
dude. It's I'm fucking jacked up for that. Yeah, just a really good match, man. I can have a hard time. I know people like can rank them. It's hard for me. I just have like matches are great, and then they're just all on one level for me. I have a hard time to say which one of these I like the most. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
So now,
I think
go.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. You go for it.
I think this now reaches the monumental levels of other feuds we've seen, like Steamboat Flair. Okada Omega is now up there with Steamboat and Flair.
I agree.
Oh yeah.
And those that late '80s run in the NWA when it was I think it was in '89, Flair and Steamboat had those three unbelievable matches. I say Okada and Omega now deserve to be in that same frame of mind.
Yeah, they've had three great matches, three different matches. You know, telling a completely different story in each match. So it's I feel it's got to be up there as well.
There you go. We might as well talk about the rest of the G. Holy, what else has been happening there? Do you want to slip the SCL top five in here or what?
We could, but before we go there, I want to ask one more question. Who do you think comes out on the Omega Naito match? I feel it's got to be Naito.
It's Naito.
Yeah,
it has with Evil Naito beating Okada, he gets a future title shot. Omega will probably get one as well, but I don't think it's going to be before Wrestle Kingdom. I don't think, knowing Gato's booking, I don't think you're going to see a fourth Omega Okada until next year sometime. Not already.
I agree, and him beating Okada gives him a title shot anyway. So, and when he takes that, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and Evil winning sets up Okada trying to get through Los Ingobernadores to get to Naito at Wrestle Kingdom, where I think Naito will beat him.
That's a good idea, actually. Yeah,
that's my guess. Is now it's, you know, Los Ingobernadores against Okada and Chaos, and that'll be what they're going to do for the next several months. I imagine the main event at Invasion Attack will probably be Evil versus Okada.
Possibly, yeah. Which, I loved the Evil Okada match from last Saturday.
I thought the Omega Juice Robinson match was better.
That was a weirdly good match, hey? I did not expect that at all.
Hey, I have Juice as my most improved wrestler at the G1. I thought he had that. The G1 is designed to get mid-card guys to sort of see what they can do and have them. And if you see a guy pull off an upset like him, it means that they're impressed with him and they think he can be something special, and Juice has become something really good there. And I think he's going to be probably one of the top gaijin by the end of 2018.
Yeah, they're also putting a lot of stock behind Zack Sabre Jr. too.
He just bores me.
He bores me as well, but they are putting a lot of stock. Like, I was a big fan of the Zack Sabre Jr. Suzuki match.
I thought the his match with Tanahashi was really good.
It was, yeah.
As well, yeah.
I can guarantee you, one thing that's not going to happen with the title picture is there's not going to be a fucking fatal four-way.
Nope. Not going to happen.
Oh, man, and also, someone,
there's only one Juice, and that Juice is Hoovy Juice.
Anyway. Have you seen Juice Robinson's t-shirt?
No.
Uh-uh. It's like a juice box bear being squeezed, and it says juice with a bunch of Japanese words. It's weird. It's like it's super Japanese.
Well, no one else is going to buy his shirt. Fine.
I thought the least impressive was at the G1 was Michael Elgin. I expected more out of him. I thought he only had one really great match, and that was with Kenny. Yeah. Other than that, he was just kind of there.
I agree.
If you want to,
Nagata had a good showing for his last G1 as well, so that was really
nice. Yeah, him versus Ishii was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
The other one, then the Bullet Club basically teasing being broken up again. I think they're doing something with Tama there that'll matter later on, when they're already starting to hedge their bets on Kenny leaving. So they're already starting to tease that. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, you can break them off easily too as just the Elite and Bullet Club.
Yep.
And I wouldn't mind Sonata seeing Tama Tonga being the leader of the Bullet Club either. I'm he's growing on me a lot.
And then Sonata, I think, had the best, the other best showing next to Juice Robinson of the undercard guys. I think Sonata, they see he can be something special here in the next few years.
If he could get some charisma, he'll be off the charts. But, like, his face doesn't change. The whole match, he'll get kicked in the face. It's just a blank look on his face. It's like, oh, you're so fucking good at everything. Just show some emotion.
That's how those Los Ingobernadores guys are, though, for the most part. I mean, Evil doesn't do a lot of faces other than looking mad.
Yeah.
And, Naito just looks bored all the time.
It's true. But that's a part of his gimmick, and it's beautiful. Like, the whole storytelling of Naito coming to this moment, you know, being shafted on the Wrestle Kingdom and his main event time, being put as the co-main event, and then all around, culminating in him probably winning this year's G1 and probably winning the title at Wrestle Kingdom, in my opinion. That'd be a great story to tell, because he's one of the most popular guys they have.
The best moment's going to be right there in the Tokyo Dome. Naito beats Okada, and right in front of Gato, he's going to throw the belt in the air and leave.
Yes. Did you also hear that the Intercontinental title is actually a bootleg Pakistani title because they don't own the rights? Yeah. So the person that made all these IWGP titles, he owns the right to the look of the title, just not the New Japan name, so he can sell that design title and put anything on it, and that's cool. If they wanted to make another one, they'd have to get him and commission him to make it because he owns the look. So they bought a $300 Pakistani bootleg, and that's why it looks so fucking shitty, and that's what Tanahashi's using now.
What? Are you fucking serious?
I'm dead serious. There was I was on Reddit, and this guy that makes a lot of titles, like he was saying that there was an Eva Marie belt plate made before she got suspended. So that's basically saying that before she got suspended, they were planning on putting the title on her. It's just a bunch of weird shit like that he was talking about.
Well, I wouldn't fucking doubt it. You want to do our, just kind of, you mentioned some of our top five. You want to do the SCL top five?
Suplex City Limits
Top Five.
These are the top five, what are just our favorite matches of the week, in no particular order. You want to take us through them or what, Tyler?
Sure. So the first one that I put on there was Kachikito Okada versus Minoru Suzuki from day 16 of the New Japan Climax.
Sir.
That match going to the draw was the way that that draw set up to the point system and how Evil still had a shot, you know, going into one of the final nights. It just made it a lot more riveting.
Can we just say, one more thing about the G1. Can we just say how WWE would not even be capable of keeping track of a scoring system this complex to book it properly? They'd get to the end and not have a clue as to how many points anybody actually had.
You mean much like that Bound for Glory thing that TNA did?
Fucking A.
I mean, like, as a booker, let's get some booker insight here. Like, how it would you think about how long it would take you to plan that whole fucking thing out, all the moving parts in there.
Okay, it's fucking crazy. We do the FLW Cup every December, so I've done two of them. And there's only 16 guys involved in that, and they're not even all singles matches. And that's still a bitch to get to the final spot where, okay, everybody in this final match can win because it ends in a four-way with the four captains. It's a bitch. So I can't imagine having, 16 guys in the G1?
Eight guys in each block.
Yeah. I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine having that type of, how difficult it would be to get to the end where everyone has the points, but you still have people who can make it till the final day. It's just, no thank you.
What I have heard is they pick the winner and work backwards.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so basically you get where you want to go and you branch your storylines from there. So, and just how they do it with the tag matches and everything as well, you know, like they'll tell a story in the tag match before the singles match. It's just really good. It's really easy to digest too. So,
yeah. What else we got?
Evil versus Kachikito Okada from G1 Day 14, which is a long time ago now, but it was a really good match. Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch from NXT.
Well, first of all, that Evil, I was so surprised by the fact that he went over Okada. That was dead pot me, man.
Yeah, well, that
Go
for it.
I'm sorry. That was the only one I predicted. Like, that was like that he's going to upset him. It was the only loss I saw Okada getting before he got to Omega. I actually thought Evil was going to beat him, just the way it was positioned and where it was on the board there.
And they have been putting a lot of stock on Evil as well.
Yeah, he's a great. He'll be a great mid card heel for them.
Yeah. He just needs to get rid of that fucking Halloween cape and that Halloween
song. No way.
No, give him something that looks better. Something that looks better. The side just looks like something I could buy for $5 at a Halloween shop. It looks like a plastic mold.
He probably
mold.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I just, like, I love the laser pointer that he does, but I feel like he needs to get something a little bit more, I don't know, credible as the shawl or whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. I was like, I'm glad that other people are agreeing. I kind of had to ask fucking people, like, am I the only one who thinks these matches are awesome? It's like, does everyone else like these matches?
I really like them. This is the second one they've had now in recent weeks, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, dude, I really enjoy it. I think they're going to be a fucking tag team, huh?
That actually would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That seems like where they're going at the end of this. They shake hands, they exchange pleasantries. They look like, the only thing with it is like fucking Birch looks like an after picture of Lorcan, like trying to sell some kind of fucking self tanner or something. They look the same, but fucking just a different hue.
A different hue.
We also had, Mil Muertes, Jeremiah Crane, Lucha Underground.
Yeah, that match was a good throwback to, a hardcore style. You know, in the day where technical wrestling is almost king now, this match was beautiful, if you ask me. Especially, maybe it was Katrina, because I just couldn't stop looking at Katrina. But
dude, she looked fucking hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, this match like went into parts of the temple we've never even fucking seen before, dude.
Yeah, like all of a sudden we come back from commercial break and Crane is just blowing through a door.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. They brawled all over the temple. Good, yeah, hardcore match. I fucking enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's whatever you're talking about for you.
Those guys worked their asses off.
One is Tetsuya Naito against Hiroshi Tanahashi from Day 17. That was the Block A final.
Yeah, that was good, too. Just so many little, like we were talking earlier about the nuances. And just like the slams him down, and then from a seated position, throws the legs over the his arms to pin him. But like one leg slips off right away. He doesn't get it on there. And then that's what that arm really kicks out with. There's so much like... WWE doesn't think about these things. Really, nobody else seems to think about the thing that they think about. Sensible.
Also, shout out to Tanahashi. The guy's had a torn bicep and needs surgery, but continues to wrestle for like at least 4 months on it now.
Yeah, and
it's a legit torn bicep.
Have you looked
bicep.
At the
it's
different
gross.
Sizes, too? Like,
it's gross.
His arm is so much smaller.
Dude, that's fucking hardcore shit, man.
He's still the Intercontinental Champion. It's like... Because like I've heard he's not going to stop. He's just going to let it heal. Is what I heard.
Well, I read something where it was like they plan on him getting surgery after Wrestle Kingdom. I'm like, at that point, can you even do surgery? It's almost been a year. Like, at what point does scar tissue just take over and fucking wreck your bicep?
Maybe.
Also, am I correct in saying that this Evil and Okada was pre Raw? Is that right?
Evil Okada was last Saturday.
Yeah, so it was pre-Raw, so they completely ripped off that chair throw spot.
Yes, they did.
Fucking bitches.
Yeah, that was a great spot, too. God damn.
Speaking of rip-offs, I want to talk about this before Jared has to go. Street Profits this week debuted in NXT. And they are a complete...
Suck a dick.
They are a complete fucking rip-off of the Bonus Boys.
Somebody in NXT clearly watches Future Stars of Wrestling because this is the third thing that they've just blatantly taken from them. The WWE as a whole. It's fucking ridiculous.
Dude, this one is blatant. It's fucking, it's ridiculous, man.
The worst for me was Suede Thompson has been in FLW before. Yeah. It was a hilarious video called The Top Guy Academy. Down to The Top Guy Academy. And it was hilarious. Literally the next week is when they started saying top guys.
Yeah.
And just the blatantness of it. And then you have a guy like I Am Funny Bone. Funny Bone. He's been the Demon King or your Demon King forever. And then Finn Balor takes it from him. WWE creators clearly watching. And I know the old saying is don't take your over gimmick to WWE tryouts because they'll just take it. But now they're just blatantly just watching the Fight app, which you can watch fully loaded TV on.
Yeah.
And they're clearly watching the Fight app and stealing stuff from people.
Yeah, so that is like saying top guys or shit like that is one thing, But, dude, this, they copied everything, man. They fucking wear the same colors. They wear similar fucking gear. They do the same fucking handshake deal. I mean, everything is like the fucking same, dude.
Yep, it's
fuck
ridiculous.
That's shit. So that's why I suggest we start the hashtag fuck the Street Profits.
See now, and hey. When you, I have been staying quiet here because I did not know who the Bonus Boys really were.
Yeah, a lot of people probably don't, understandably so.
But when I seen, without knowing
I
that
sent
it's a blatant
some, right?
Yeah, you did. Before, when I was watching NXT, not knowing that it's a blatant ripoff, I'm a fan of the smaller guy in the group, Ford or whatever. I liked him.
Agreed.
Talking
sucks. How does he suck for how long he's been there? Yeah, he sucks. Anyway, what were you going to say, Jared? Sorry.
I'll just say shout out to the Bonus Boys, former FLW tag team champions. If you get a chance, just watch some of their stuff on YouTube, especially their stuff, anything with them versus the Whirlwind Gentlemen. The best tag wrestling going today.
It's good shit. Anyway. They're also on the brand newest episode of, they're the first match on the newest episode of WCWC.
The brand newest?
Did I say brand newest?
At first, yeah. It's funny.
Dude, you motherfuckers, like, I'm used to, like, you know, like here, I'm just sitting back listening to you fuckers jack off over New Japan's, just smoking like nonstop.
Well, it is called a climax, Jim.
Yeah.
I'm retarded at this point. I've smoked so much throughout this show.
And so before Jarrett leaves, just only other matches announced for the G1 final is War Machine against Cody and Hangman Page for the IWGP Tag Team Champions. And the Young Bucks.
War Machine
against,
retains.
Yes. And then the Young Bucks against Taguchi and Ricochet for the junior tags.
Mm-hmm. Young Bucks retain.
I agree.
Oh, they're talking that War Machine is going to fucking Ring of Honor, man. Or not Ring of Honor, excuse me, NXT.
Are they?
As far as I know, they just signed a 3-month extension on their New Japan and ROH deal.
That's not very reassuring, though. 3 months.
No, I imagine they're told this. You know, they want to finish out their run here, or yeah. They're trying to negotiate, and they know they have NXT in their back pocket. So you go, all right, give me a long term deal, and New Japan goes, give us 3 months, and we'll come up with a year deal for you.
Dude, they're a fucking great tag team.
They are.
They did that. They did that with Kenny after. After Wrestle Kingdom, he got a 3-month extension, then it became a year. They'll do that just to give themselves time to see if they actually want to keep the person. I think War Machine's the best big man tag team in the world today.
Oh, easily. Mm. Much better than what WWE is offering up with Authors of Pain, that's for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. While you're here, man, let's talk about what's going on in the world of Fully Loaded Wrestling.
Oh, like I said, every Monday you can watch us on Fight at 9 p.m. Central Time. So wherever your time zone is, figure it out.
Going head to head with Raw, motherfucker.
Always. Fuck it. Everybody just DVR shits. Watch it later. It's all on demand. Nobody watches anything live anymore.
Definitely not.
No, nobody does. No. Why would you? They give you no reason to. But I'll give you a reason to watch Fully Loaded TV. Next week, we have Eric Cannon on, Mr. 205 Live, Mr. Man with a Plan.
Dude's an underground. Mondays. Dude's an underground fucking legend in my book, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, he's awesome. And a couple episodes back, we had a 6-man ladder match that involved broken tables, broken ladders. It was a hell of a match. I recommend you go watch it. Episode 88 on YouTube or Fight, if you're so inclined to watch that. Coming up August 25th and 26th here in Minot, we have an event series at the Vegas Motel that should kick some ass. I'm pretty excited for it. And beyond that, we'll be in Fargo in September and then back in Minot, October, November, December.
Fucking A, man. Well, that's good.
Oh, hell yeah.
What?
Fuck!
What?
What?
All right, man. How much time we got with you here? Still, we have time to play a game?
Yeah. Let's play a game.
I want to play a game.
All right. I always feel like I should be a game show host then.
Well, what are you waiting for?
We're back.
It says here that you're in the wrestling business. That's pretty crazy. That was almost Harry Carey.
It was Harry Carey, yeah.
What's your favorite planet? Mars, the sun.
Oh, that's a real neat planet.
Oh, shit. Oh, my pipe rolled away. Fucking show's over. Show's over.
Shut it down. Shut it all down.
Fucking shut it down. What are this week's categories?
We have WCW, failed regimmicks or failed repackagings, and I can't remember the last name of the category, so I'm just going to say WWF New Generation.
No, let's just say it's a mystery fucking one. Yes.
There you go.
I'll take mystery for 500, please, Jim. Jim?
Yes.
This isn't funny. I'll take it, please.
All right. What do we got?
Fuck.
Oh, come on, man. What?
Everybody's bitching about it being hard. This one's easier.
All right, that's easy.
Jared, I don't know this one.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Oh, dude, I'm terrible with fucking songs. I'm sorry.
Oh my god,
I'm fucking terrible, dude.
It's Razor Ramon, man.
Oh fuck!
He said new WWE.
No, I said new generation.
Oh god, it's, damn it!
Yeah,
god damn it. I thought he meant like recent. God damn it!
Okay, do you want to switch your pick? Do you want to switch your pick?
Hold on, let's clarify. No, I did get it right, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Razor Ramon. I would say I'm like, wow, this is a Razor Ramon ripoff. But like, I would, yeah, new generation meaning like the 93 to the 95. Fuck off. God damn it. Fuck.
What's next? Dude. Well, what?
I don't know.
Shut the fuck up.
No, I don't. Dude, I'm terrible with songs. What do you want from me?
Oh, I fucking hasn't it? It's a 1-2-3 kid.
Damn.
These seem. I don't know if you're fucking doing a bit right now or not. I'm like, is he doing a bit? I don't know. Maybe these are just really easy to me, but to me, they're like, these seem like cake, man.
If he didn't know those two, he's not going to know this one. This one's
I'm doing a bit, guys. This is 100% a bit.
Are you ready for the final one? That's going to be ultimately harder than.
Yeah, I'll take I'll take new generation for 800, please, Jim.
It's the Daily Double.
Is that Dean Douglas? Ah, damn it.
Is it the Body Donnas? Is it Candido?
Hold on.
I'm going to get it. Is it? No, what is it?
It is the first theme that Shawn Michaels used after leaving the Rockers. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He used it on 3 house shows or something like that.
Hey guys, I'm just glad I got to be part of the game. You know, I'm kind of sad I didn't win any money, but you know, shout out to my family. Hi mom, hi dad.
Holy shit. Well, that's gonna do it for that. What do I want to do? What do I want to move into? I guess we gotta talk about WWE and what's going on there.
I suppose at some
do
point
we have to.
Yeah, I think we do. Instead of talking about some Raw. Welcome everyone to Monday Night Raw. I was like half waiting for you to be like, "Well, actually, I have to take off now." So
welcome everyone.
to Monday Night Raw. What else do you want to talk about on these shows? I mean, we can just bust through.
How awesome Cesaro versus Dean Ambrose was.
It was a good really match. Match. It really
for
was.
For a TV match.
Yeah.
It was on, it's an honorable mention for our top five because I put it on my top five list, but it was only Monday, you know, so it got knocked off by some of the other shit.
Yeah. It's. That match itself was really good. Just the fact that it's a television match where it's the points of the match are so predictable where it's like, okay, well, I expect them to, well, it's quarter two. They're going to go to a commercial break soon, so somebody's going to get thrown out of the ring in 5, 4, 3 seconds before I thought. Good.
Yeah, they teased the Shield stuff throughout the night. Well, at least Rollins and Ambrose. Their gay porno continues.
Nothing wrong. Hey, I actually like the way they're building that. I thought it was clever. You know, they're doing it well. Yeah, although I don't like the idea that they. I don't like the idea of them, like everyone's saying they're going to reunite the Shield and they're going to help Roman win the title. That's like the last thing I want to happen.
See, the one thing that just eats at me is, okay, so you got these guys getting fucked over, right? So their good buddy, yeah. Roman Reigns, just won't do nothing about this, eh? Nothing.
Right. He's, yeah.
Well, he's busy having chairs thrown at him by Braun Strowman.
This doesn't make a good friend. If Jim was lying in a ditch here and I drove by, I was like, sorry, man, I got to go to the coffee shop, man. Sorry, you lied in the
ditch.
Hold
on a minute, though. What if Braun Strowman was chasing you? Would you stop to help Jim then?
It depends on if he's reading Juno or not.
Yes.
Can we just say that Braun Strowman is the greatest thing to happen to the WWE in like the last 3 years? Fuck AJ Styles. Fuck everybody else. Nakamura. Fuck that. Braun Strowman existing in the WWE and just knocking shit over, recklessly throwing human beings wherever the fuck he wants.
He's the best guy they've created, for sure.
Yeah. In the last
Come on, dude. I mean, not to say they were above fucking it up, because I guess you're right. But to anyone else, it seems like a no-brainer. Like, well, obviously, you managed to make this fucking crazy huge guy a star. I mean,
yeah, but think of all the crazy huge guys they haven't made into stars.
Kali.
Oh, God. You know? I mean, it's true. That's the best thing, I think, right now, honestly. If you're going to have a shot to do anything face-wise with Reigns, just put him back with these two guys. And
yeah, I would definitely be over. I would just prefer to see Braun Strowman walk out champion at SummerSlam. Yeah. And then just like the next few months is just Braun Strowman throwing human beings while being champion.
Yeah. And then you could just put together, you know, groups of three to fucking take them on. I don't know.
So now, if you had Braun Strowman throwing everybody around as a champion, who would you use as the one guy that could get through him?
So you're asking me who at WrestleMania?
Yeah. Let's say Braun went all the way to WrestleMania. Who wins the Rumble to go and face Braun?
You're saying that he's champion at this point?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He's the heavyweight champion since SummerSlam. You keep him apart, but I think eventually you could do Bray.
Okay.
Wow.
You could do Bray Wyatt against Braun Strowman at WrestleMania, with Bray Wyatt talking about how he created the monster and now he'll take the monster from us. If it wasn't for him, Braun wouldn't be here. But, you know, in his stupid, crazy Bray Wyatt promo way of doing things.
In a way nobody will understand what he's talking about.
Yeah. Man, I created you. I can take you. That's more Dude Love. I don't know. Dude, or Brother Love. I'm Bray Wyatt. I can't do a Bray Wyatt. I'm sorry.
Jason Jordan.
Jason Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
But yeah, that's what I would do. If I made Braun Strowman champion at SummerSlam, it would eventually lead to Bray versus Braun at WrestleMania.
Jason Jordan, no reaction from the crowd at all.
Thank you, Toronto.
He got some booze.
Hey, man, don't tell him short.
Shout out to Toronto for just being the best wrestling crowd this side of Chicago.
Jobber gets a huge pop. Let's go Jobber chance.
I got to ask you a question. Now, who in the fucking bright mind thought that the Canadian Jobber was not going to be over? Who?
Maybe they wanted him to be.
They made him French, though.
Yeah, so. That's just a pocket. Some people hate the French. That's just like some people hating blacks, right? Like,
there's Jesus Christ!
No, I'm comparing the two.
I know.
I'm comparing the two, right? Like, it's basically just like racism. There's a pocket of people that believe it, but for the most part, people don't think French Canadians suck because look, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Hey, I'm not French Canadian, so I'm not taking no offense to it. Man. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of races, there's like this crazy huge thing happening in Virginia right now. I mean, as a Canadian, have you heard about this?
No.
There's like thousands of fucking racists with torches, and they're like having a rally. And
it's crazy. Let's not judge. We don't know that they're racist. I mean, there was just a group of white supremacists who went to tried to get to a black church to intimidate a bunch of black people. We don't know that they're racist. Okay? We can't do that. We can't judge. We can't judge, Jim.
But yeah, the fucking... Jordan goes over here, and the crowd just boos the shit out of him. It was glorious.
Hey, if they're booking him to be a heel, they're doing it right.
Well...
They're probably stumbling into something good here,
if they aren't booking him to be a heel, oh my fuck.
Right. The crowd boos the shit out of Bayley also on this show. That was fantastic.
That's the first time I've ever seen a WWE...
That's long.
That's the first time I've seen in a long time a WWE wrestler get flustered. Just completely flustered on the mic. Like, she was just like taken aback by their booze.
I think the last time it happened to this effect was Triple H when they started chanting CM Punk. I remember a time when CM Punk started being chanted and Triple H just puts the mic down and just like, I don't know what to say. And then Stephanie cuts in and just shuts him up.
Batista did that too. When it was Daniel Bryan, and when he made that comeback, and they wouldn't, and they just booed him out of the building, you could just tell it just pissed Batista off, and he didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know. Enzo and Cass still have shit involving the Big Show. That's awful.
Enzo is a fucking abortion.
Oh, man. This Wyatt and Balor thing, I think, is pretty piss poor.
What is it about?
Pretty decent.
I don't get it. What is it about?
Not about anything.
Fair enough.
Well, what is anything about anything in the WWE anymore? I mean, not to skip to SmackDown, but I mean, John Cena and Baron Corbin are going to wrestle? Just why the fuck not? You're not even trying.
No, it's true.
Well, it's basically WWE's like, oh, I don't have an opponent. Do you have an opponent? No, we should probably fight each other. That'd be pretty neat. Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, two women's matches here. Oh, yeah.
Where's the Brian Pillman, Gold Dust, I'm going to fuck Marlena, that's my kid, now we're going to have a blood feud going on. No, instead we have Finn Balor just appearing in a ring. Good job.
Yeah.
Jerks.
He's scary. Das Wonder Twink. They had two women's three-ways on here.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So how dreadful is Alicia Fox?
Alicia Fox. She's she's got a really good Northern Lights.
That's all we ever could say about her. But like this match was a okay match if you didn't watch the Alicia Fox stuff. Because like Alicia Fox was horrible.
She didn't even do intensity.
I suppose.
She did do the fucking...
Did she? Fair enough.
Yeah.
Wait, Jim, are you really defending Alicia Fox?
He is, and it's fucking happening? Me up. It is.
He just likes to beat off to her.
He likes to mix it up. So, but one thing that was good, though, was that Ocean Cycle suplex onto the apron, though, by Anna.
I was going to defend her. I will defend her if you want. No. She's good intensity, man. She sucks, but at least she like looks like she's trying to fight somebody. You know, she looks like she's mad at them when she goes at it. And yeah, good Northern Lights suplex.
Terrible match though. It was not a good match. None of the women's matches were good this week.
No.
Bliss is still awful on commentary. How is she so good at like promos and shit? But you put her on commentary and she's the complete shits.
Because she's good at reading a script, but not good off the top of her head.
No, that's exactly it.
Made that way.
Yeah, that answer proposed itself to me halfway through the question. I mean, Dana Brooke, I was like, I forgot about Dana Brooke. Oh.
So did everyone else, and we all liked it that way.
Yeah, Mickey James drew the fucking short straw on that one. It's like, you get Bliss, or you get Nia Jax and Dana Brooke, like, woof.
Well, go out there and make them look good, huh?
Let's talk about Goldust becoming a manager.
Yeah.
Which this yet kind of leans toward.
That's intriguing.
It is. And because he's saying he's got his masterpieces to come and how somebody will be in his shadows. And
For the love of God, let it be Darren Young.
Oh, my fuck, it is. Jim, I totally have lost all interest in this now. It is Dan.
We are coming full circle with the Gold Dust gay character. He actually will now manage a gay person.
It's gonna be Luke Harper once they trade him over to Raw after the after the SummerSlam shakeup. Goldust and Luke Harper. What do you think of the?
I kind of want to see Darren Young now.
Painted up and shit.
Yeah. Like rubbing his dick on people's backs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that'd be, yeah. Yeah, I like this. God damn it, pal, you're onto something.
Can I have a job?
Yeah. Rub his delts. Yeah.
Do you want me to get the oil, sir?
Do you know that fucking Dustin at one point pitched the idea that he would get fake tits for $1 million or something?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
That's commitment. That was peak drug use for that guy.
Definitely. That was when he was wearing like the assless chaps and shit.
That's fucking going deep, dude. That is going deep.
You know who probably liked the idea? Vince Russo.
That's money, bro.
Bro, you should get some tits, bro.
I love tits on you, bro.
I mean, you a star, but with tits, bro, forget about it.
The moon, bro.
Fucking world champion, bro. You get tits, champ in the first 6 months. I fucking guarantee it, bro. Bigger than fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin. They're going to say Stone Cold who?
And, bro, at night, bro, you can just play with him, bro. Just play with him.
Let me play with him, bro.
Bro, can I lick him, bro? Bro, can I lick him? Bro.
Also, dusted off the shark cage thing again.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Why is a baby face in the shark cage? You're supposed to keep, you know, like, right? Like,
they're just trying to use it. They're like, well, we got that shark cage. What kind of things do we have in the old prop house? That's like the Punjabi prison. They're like, dust that motherfucker off. And
how often do you think Arn Anderson just throws his pen on the floor and leaves rooms? Like the way they book shit in this company. Arn Anderson just randomly just goes, no! And just leaves. And it'll just calmly come back later on in the night, or later on in the day, like nothing happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, after you get stabbed with a fucking scissors by Sid, right? Like, nothing can top that.
He almost did, yeah. And was he actually stabbed?
I don't know.
I think it was just an attempt at a stabbing.
Could have been.
I love pro wrestling.
And for the main event, Braun and Robot Reigns. Joe comes out, puts him in the Coquina clutch, and Reigns taps. You know, not part of the match, but...
Now let's talk about how stupid that finish is. So it's a no DQ match. So therefore, Joe coming out and applying the clutch onto Roman Reigns. The ref shouldn't have stopped counting Braun Strowman.
Well, yeah.
Braun Strowman was out for like 25 seconds.
Well, it's chaos. I mean, what do you want the ref to do? Just let Roman get choked? I mean, he has a job to do, and that's to protect the two people in the match. Why don't you open up your ref handbook once in a while and understand the rules? It's clearly stated that if a foreign person comes into the match, they have to be dealt with before the count finishes.
Foreign.
It's page 11, rule B, all right? Fucking God.
It's section 84, subsection 63, okay? Get it right.
You knew it was coming, though. It's just like all these finishes on these Raw, main events involving these people. Joe's coming out eventually, and he does. And
Wrestling's always been that way, though. Like, I've watched, I'm watching, like, I just finished 96. I'm halfway through 97 Raws, and it's like, oh, yeah. Everything ends with the Heart Foundation attacking somebody or Stone Cold attacking somebody. Nothing's ever a clean finish, and that's okay for TV. But it's when you get to the pay-per-views and you get fucked finishes at the pay-per-views when you piss people off because they're paying to see the payoff.
Well, they're doing that shit now, though.
I know.
It's fucking bullshit. It's like they're building everything toward TV nowadays. It's a weird deal. Everything's kind of flipped around. So that's pretty much Raw. I thought it was a chore.
I thought it was a B. I enjoyed it.
I'd give it a fucking D because most weeks I give it an F. I'll give it a D for a good Ambrose Cesaro match.
I'll give it a C gold plus. Dust B cup.
So we got a D, C plus, and B.
Dustin has a fucking. He's got a D cup shaped body, man. He needs D's.
Yeah, I know. But it didn't fit into my B, all right? Fuck off. Try to make it work. Square peg, round hole.
I guess we had to talk about SmackDown as well, do we? SmackDown Live, also from Toronto. That's cool that they ran like a double shot up there.
Did you notice the guy in the crowd that looked like Fred Durst in Raw and SmackDown? On Raw, he had a shirt that says Roman sucks, and on SmackDown, he had a shirt that said Cena
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah, Cena sucks.
I thought it was funny, man. Some people were like,
hero.
Some people were like, that guy's a douche. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, like, just you know, taking the shit out of everybody. It's great.
I don't know, dude. Yeah, open with fucking Cena, of course. Cena promo starts the show. This was bad. And he starts sucking Naka's dick. And I just hate when, like, he tries to put people over. It just doesn't really work.
You know? Yeah, I hate uninspired Cena. Like, you can tell he doesn't give a shit right now about what's going on. Because when he wants to, he could turn it on. But he's also the kind of guy who would just be like, I got to work who? A Baron Corbin.
He has the ability to take away everything you gain from a win over him. You know that? It's so fucked up. You beat the guy, you know, you beat the dude, and whatever you gain is just gone when he comes on and is like, doesn't fucking care. You know?
Yeah.
You ever see that dude care? Never.
No. And him and Randy Orton, they're just the, don't give a shit, you know? And it's tough. It's unfortunate. The Hogan would do that to people.
Yeah. It's like, it's fucking stupid. He'd lose a belt and then come out like the next day, you know, doing the same fucking shtick. Stupid.
Yep.
Corbin eventually comes out, has an awful fucking bit of promo, but dude, Cena crushed him, man. Like, it was glorious. Why would you send this dumb fuck out there to do this? You know, like, and that's another Cena thing right there. It's like legit fucking take dudes down and fucking promo.
Yeah, Cena has the ability to just completely wreck your career. That dumpster fire thing is going to follow Baron Corbin.
It will.
Probably forever.
Yeah. But like it's crazy too, because it's not like that was rehearsed. That was a sign that he seen in the crowd, and he just read it, and it just took the shit right out of Corbin.
Yeah, imagine another guy on the roster, though, doing that, and how much they'd get yelled at in the backboard. And Cena gets to just do it. And that's why he gets to stay on top, because he just does things, and then they let him do it.
Yeah, he also calls him skinny fat, makes fun of his body. So that's, I mean, that might be a little based in reality. Imagine he just like looks at Corbin and is just like, what? I mean, what do you think of Corbin when you're working in back there? You think the same shit we think of him, right? No.
Well, apparently everybody hates Baron Corbin.
Well, I don't doubt it. He's a cunt. You've seen that from Breaking Ground on. The guy's a cunt of a real person. Like,
well, did you see what Finn Balor tweeted at him?
No,
I don't know. Baron Corbin said something, and Balor said that he missed a couple days. I hope he doesn't lose. I hope I don't lose my abs. Then Baron Corbin says, "You're 160 pounds. You have no choice but to have abs." And then Balor said, "Is that why you wear a t-shirt? Can you send some of the pounds to me?"
It's fucking awesome, dude. What else? It's Usos took it at Dillinger and Zayn, which is weird.
First day is age.
And then JBL says that the Bizarro Land loved the lovable neurotic Sami Zayn. So it's saying nobody else should love Sami Zayn.
Oh yeah, the Bizarro World was on full effect here in Toronto.
Toronto's always Bizarro World. They always call them.
At the end of the match, the New Day attack. That was great. Usos run away, and one of them just completely eats shit on the ramp running away. Did you see that?
No.
Fucking great, dude. He just bites it hard. It's awesome.
That makes me think of, like I said, I'm going through the old 97 Raws, and there's a Raw where Owen trips on the ramp, and Owen stands up and goes, "That's shoddy American work for you." Like, he just knew right away what to say, because he looked like an asshole tripping. And the look, like Brett, who's like never had a character, totally cracked a smile and started laughing at Owen. "That's shoddy American work for you."
And that was the last time that Bret Hart laughed.
At least they got it on videotape, so his family has a picture of it.
Fashion peaks once again.
This is the best thing in WWE right now.
It is. It is. I absolutely fucking love it. And knowing all the little Easter eggs in it, it just makes it so much better.
I love the anal probe mention. That was great.
Yeah.
That was. Arn Anderson sighting.
Oh yeah, I loved it.
He just stormed out of creative meeting after throwing a pen and needed some comfort food.
That's how he killed Tully. He left a creative meeting so mad he just went and just ripped the shit out of Tully.
Who was killed? Tully was killed before Daryl, right?
Daryl was killed because there was a cease and desist order. The people that made the cat didn't want them to use it, or they had to pay to use it, so they had to kill the cat and bring it back as something different, like their own cat. So
why would they have
pro wrestling?
Why would you have an issue with this guy carrying your product? Like, don't you sell tons of them?
Well, that's what because you think, but
like, yeah, why would you know?
Unless... Does not everybody want like a fucking Daryl, right? I mean, you know,
maybe there was they were trying to come to an agreement on selling them at New Japan shows, and New Japan said no. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
Be a good piece of merch right there.
Yeah, or maybe they're just cunts. Who knows? You know, there's cunts in every business.
It's true. Speaking of cunts,
I knew it.
Charlotte Flair defeats Lana in a squash match.
That's called serving you up, man. You're welcome. Yeah.
If I didn't take it, he was going to take it.
The highlight of this match was Lana pulling down Charlotte's pants.
Oh, shit.
And you got to see that manly ass.
Yeah, right. That's weird fucking manly pelvis bone.
Jared's over there beating off just thinking about it.
I kind of like that. Mm-hmm.
I've been beating off this whole time.
Oh, makes me feel good.
This is just, you know, just edging myself this entire show. And then right as I get off the air, that's just the sound you're going to hear. Just one angry grunt.
That's what you sound like when you nut, just one angry grunt.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
5-star podcast.
I actually like this next bit, despite Shane trying to like fucking pull a Steph on these guys. I like that they used old footage. They went back to shit. They actually used things that have happened as part of the story, which is something they usually don't do.
Jesus Christ, we've got to that point with WWE. Like, you guys did something right. It's so simple and easy.
You referred to something that already happened on your show. So. Hey, man.
Arn was behind this booking right here. This is Arn's idea.
Yeah, so, this is how they got him back.
Ends with Shane taking a accidental Pele kick. So, building that up. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be Owens and Shane at the next SmackDown pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's possible. Maybe Survivor Series or something.
No, I was going to say Survivor Series. Shane doesn't come back for one-off pay-per-views. He's got to be, like every McMahon, he's got to make himself part of the big shows.
Did you guys understand what is going on with this Lana and Hardly Fly Tamina Snuka's fucking story? Yeah,
Tamina wants to be beautiful and Lana wants to be tough.
What I got out of it was fast forward.
What I got out of it was to the next segment faster. Oh, man. Why? And, dude, am I wrong here? I'm glad you're here with your pro wrestling booking expertise. Was Carmella versus Naomi here not fucking ridiculous? Is it not that ridiculous to have your Money the Bank winner against the champion in a non-title match?
Yeah, it's confusing. I don't understand why you'd do it. I mean, it makes sense for the heel to do it, especially if the heel is going to take the loss because it doesn't matter because she has the briefcase. But for a babyface, if they had the briefcase, take the loss, just doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Why didn't she just grab the briefcase, crack her over the fucking head with it, get disqualified, but then the match starts when she cashes in? That's stupid.
There's a
they
million,
should not be in the
million
same
million
match.
Ways.
Especially when you have Ellsworth coming match. In. Really?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ellsworth could have turned in the fucking thing mid-match without Naomi knowing, then knocked her off, and then, I mean, it's so fucking... I just don't get why you would do that.
It's dumb. You're right. I have no justification for it.
Yeah, in precisely what is killing Nakamura, We have an interview with Renee and Nakamura.
Oh, yeah. Sit down, reveal all interview.
It's better than him in the ring of doing a promo or something, but fuck, it still sucks.
I don't get it.
Yeah. No, like, for the last couple weeks, they've been doing it right. You know, just giving them little things to say, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, oh, let's see if this works again now. No.
Him trying to say, we should have fucking got a sample of that. I didn't think of it. And him saying, trying to say Maharaja. Fucking glorious, dude. Oh, my God.
Sound it out for the audience, Jim. Sound it out.
Jinder Mahal. No. I just fucking... And then your main event, another one that's quite... Don't understand. The Randy Orton beats Jinder clean. Beats your champion clean. I did not watch this match. I
didn't either.
I refused to watch this.
Nobody watched this match.
And I said that on Twitter. Check this out.
Everyone in the arena left.
Wrestling. They're like, fuck it.
Let's go home.
I refuse to watch this fucking match. And of course, some people on Twitter are like, this is a good match, actually. Go fuck yourself, dude.
There will always be people who defend whatever's on TV. Yeah. Always. And I have no doubt that it was maybe probably a decent match if you hadn't already seen them wrestle a million times and Randy Orton actually gave a shit, which he never does, ever, except partly in the Bray Wyatt feud.
Yeah, right.
Partly. Let's not forget that.
It's the most effort you're going to get out of Randy Orton in 2017, okay?
Let's not forget how weird that House of Horrors match was.
I try to. I try to block it out of my memory.
And I'm going to...
Now you brought it up, and now I'm triggered. Thank you.
This is not your safe place, Jarrett.
No.
House of
Horrors. Poor Fridge.
That's SmackDown. I guess we'll talk more about WWE and shit as we preview SummerSlam next week. That's next weekend, man. SummerSlam and TakeOver.
Yeah, yeah. At least there's no more G1 after this weekend, so it's...
Well, that's true. We get to take a break on that. What else are we doing here, man? Talking about...
I think... Can I add someone into the Suplex City Limits Hall of Fame?
Babe.
I put you on the spot, didn't I?
It depends who we're talking about. You can propose somebody, but we can veto him. How about that?
Okay. How about this? And hear me out. Oh, Ahmed Johnson.
Shut the fuck up.
The Pro River Plunge. The most dangerous man in professional wrestling. Literally the most dangerous man. The greatest wrestler of all time, Ahmed Johnson, is down the Suplex City Limits Hall of Fame. It's that simple. Put him in. Put him in, gentlemen.
The fuck? Hello. Who's the last person I put in? I don't even remember.
You know what? I'm with Jared.
It was a guy with a blue
mask. I think we put him in as Big T, though.
Oh, nope. He's got to go in as Ahmed. Nope. Nope. I'm pretty steadfast on this, guys. He's going in as Ahmed Johnson. And he's going to actually show up to the Hall of Fame, and he's going to give a great speech. I'm telling you right now.
You know what we should do? We should like message him and be like, "Hey, we want to add you into our Hall of Fame. Nobody's ever been in it before. You're going to be the first inductee. Can we get you to come in and say a few words?"
Hold on a minute, man. I got to call you back. I'm on break right now. McDonald's. And when I'm done with work, I'm going to call you back.
I'm pulling a double today, doing the fries.
Actually, I think he's a trucker. I guess you read that somewhere. Like, he's like a long-haul trucker now.
Well, that's a good job for fat fucks.
Ahmed Johnson's in the Suplex City Limits Hall of Fame.
No, he's not.
Put it down, Jim.
He's not.
I guarantee you could get him on the show.
I don't want to
call him up. Like, hey, you're in the Suplex. Why don't you want Ahmed Johnson on your show? He's a bigger star than G. You know what's his name? The guy from Crime Time.
Oh, JTG.
I
didn't remember his name. Everybody remembers Ahmed Johnson. Everybody.
Well, I'm gonna go and fucking. I'm gonna go take an old man piss while you guys fucking jack off over Ahmed Johnson. You can talk
while he's
him.
Gone. All right, while he's gone, Tyler, you have access to the Facebook page, right?
Yes. Who's
right,
he does
just
not.
A picture.
Fuck, no,
there's
he
nothing
doesn't.
He can do.
Oh, the Suplex City Limits. No, I don't have access to the Suplex City Limits.
What about the Twitter? Do you have access to Twitter?
No.
Just tweet that he's in the Hall of Fame. God damn it, Tyler, you are useless to me in this scenario.
Wait, no. I got. Let's see now. I'm going to go to. Is Jim gone yet? Yes.
He must be. All right, while he's gone, we should talk about how amazing Omega and Okada was again. Unbelievable.
Wasn't it, though? It was. Just another thing I really like, too. I can't remember the name of the move, but it's that deadlift German that he does. Montanza's Revenge or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, it's the one where he puts him up, looks like he's going for the one-winged angel.
Then drops him.
And then, drops him and does the German. I can't remember what he calls it either, though.
It's something Revenge, but that's a move that he hasn't used for such a long time. And the one match where he beats Okada is the match where he uses that move. So it's just, I was going into that match thinking, like, the only way Kenny Omega's going to win this match is he's got to use a move that he doesn't use or hasn't used in a long time. And when I seen that, I was like, oh, yes, thank you.
He busted out two. He did the, can't remember what it's called, that double underhook. Basically, it's the pedigree, except he lifts you all the way up and then drives you down.
Yeah.
He did that. He took that one out, too. He hasn't used that one in a while. That's one thing I love about New Japan. Is that they actually care about big matches like Bret Hart used to. Like, Bret Hart never did the top rope superplex until WrestleMania 10 when he was facing Owen. Oh, he had never gone all the way to the top rope till then. Because he cares about
Bret Hart. Then... cared about something. Well, that was the last time Bret Hart cared about something.
Jim, we took the time while you were gone to talk about Okada and Omega again. We're sorry.
Again!
It was really good, man. Jim. It was really good.
We forgot We forgot the show wasn't paused, so like everyone just heard us again orgasm for like a fourth time over it.
I knew the show wasn't paused. I'll orgasm all day long on this.
It's called Climax for a reason.
Hell yeah.
We can bust through these other shows real quick.
Talk bust about something, am I right?
Guys, what a show. Oh, Jared, okay, I got one before we even go into anything else. Did you watch any of the guest commentary with Hanma on the shows?
No.
Man, that guy's got a fucking deep voice for his body. It's like,
oh, is that who the deep voice guy is? Yes. That's
Hanma. And it's like, what the fuck? It's like what nightmares are made of, man.
I could always tell when it's Liger, though. Liger has like an impossibly high voice.
I can't tell when it's fucking anything.
It throws me off. Also, he doesn't say much beyond hi.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah,
dude, like, is that who that is? I was wondering who that is. Who just says hi like nonstop? Oh no,
Liger
shit.
Doesn't say a lot. He just hey. He's getting paid to just say that.
Yeah.
And he looks fucked. I saw him at one point, and like they cut to him, and I don't know how he's got like headphones under there and shit, but his mask is all fucked up. He just looks like Liger hungover, or Liger drunk.
Well, because he doesn't have like the eye shields or nothing either, right? So it's just like squish eyeballs.
All right, guys, I gotta go. Remember, fans, hashtag Ahmed Johnson Hall of Fame.
Dude, thanks for swinging by, man. Like, thought it was a fucking good time.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
All right, have a good one, dude.
What a bunch of fucking jerks. Jesus Christ, I fucking hate those assholes.
Fuck. Yeah. Oh, fuck, I love that guy.
That was fun.
Oh, fuck. Anyway, we busted these couple of last shows. And
so you want to start with NXT?
Sure. I don't know what else we're going to talk about on NXT, considering we covered the only really Larkin. Good match.
Yeah, there was you had the what I thought was weird. The timing of the show I thought was odd, because you had the sanity bit where Eric Young returns, then you had the Street Profits debut, and then you show.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Right, and then you do the face to face. And then they announced Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan's next. It's like, oh man, what a great way to end the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, after that match, like, there's more? It's like, right. What the fuck? I thought that was really odd.
Dude, how honored to talk about the Metro Brothers who took on the Street Profits here. They are a fucking greaser gimmick in 2017.
Yeah, and you know when was the last time they did that?
Ugh, yeah, the fucking Deuce and Domino.
Yeah, yeah, and how well did that go over? Jimmy Snuka's son and fucking, what's his name?
I don't even remember. Who gives
Cliff
a fuck?
Compton. Cliff Compton.
Dude, a greaser gimmick is fucking awful. Greaser gimmick on an indie show is awful, much less anywhere. Like, just don't do it. Just don't fucking do it.
There's no reason for it. It's completely
so
outdated.
Stupid. Oh, it's so dumb. I couldn't believe that I was watching fucking a greaser gimmick tag team on NXT. I was like, is this fucking real life right now?
Yeah, and like, they're getting where you expect by to fucking, be.
Yeah, they're getting beat by the Bonus Boys ripoff. Holy fuck.
But I will say, though, the Ford fella, he's the standard of the group. I could see them doing something with him down the road, but...
I thought Dawkins looked like shit in this. He looks slow, he looks fucking...
Yeah, he looked like a step behind.
The other guy is fucking pretty good. He did, you know, like I like how he got in the ring. He did like a flip into the ring, was cool.
Yeah. Do the Bonus Boys use the cup?
The cup?
Yeah, like the Ford guy had that red solo cup the whole time.
Oh, you know, I don't know about that. But that handshake thing they do at the end, they like slap hands.
They
identical.
Do look so alike too, you know, like the whole scheme of it.
Oh, dude, it's a complete ripoff. And you could have took some of the good points of that, you know, and just changed them, and it wouldn't have made a difference. Could have been the Street Profits, and you didn't have to steal the color scheme and the attire, did you?
No.
You could have just, like, been any color scheme, dressed how you wanted. I mean, it's just dumb. As we said, you know, I think that Birch and Lorcan, that could be a tag team.
Especially where they're lacking in the tag team department right now, you know, so
right.
That'd be a good little addition for them.
I
think they should put Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly back together, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those guys, I think that's the best shot they have.
Yeah, agreed.
And they should, if they should want that, too. That's the best bet they have.
Yeah, that
singles,
gets them over.
You think if Bobby Fish is going in there thinking that he's like, oh, I'm going to main event WrestleMania or something, you're out of your fucking
especially
mind.
Especially at his age, too. Bobby Fish is, what, 37 or something like that?
All right. Yeah, dude, try to just get in the tag team. They did this some more with the Strong and Rude thing, you know.
Yeah,
so like, what, next week is McIntyre and Strong, and if Strong wins, he gets Rude after TakeOver.
What? How funny would it be if Strong didn't win? It's like, oh,
yeah,
that was for naught. But that basically tells you Bobby Roode is winning at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or not a SummerSlam, a TakeOver.
Also, Strong doesn't really care about the belt. He just wants to wrestle him.
No, but Bobby Roode did say that, okay, you know what? I'll even put the belt on the line if you can beat Drew McIntyre. Right, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they emphasized on that, like, you know what, I won't just fight you, I'll put the belt on the line, but you got to beat Drew McIntyre first.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
To me, here's a great opportunity to, you know, have him beat McIntyre.
Yeah.
And then McIntyre beats Rude, and after that, so Rude and Strong go, and then I could do, so you could have Strong beat Rude, and then you have Strong and McIntyre. I mean, you know, it just opens up a lot of shit.
Yeah,
man.
No, I agree. But I just don't see him doing it that way. I would imagine that.
So to me, Rude's a guy who, you know, he doesn't even fucking lose anything by being beat, right?
No, I mean, no, he doesn't even
the
need the title.
Heel, he is. He could drop the title and go to the main card and be fucking huge on Raw.
Oh.
You put that dude out on Raw every week or something, fuck, money.
I think that would be one thing that Triple H and Vince could agree on completely, because Bobby Roode is Triple H, and Vince loves Triple H, so Vince would love Bobby Roode, you know, I think he would just go to the moon.
Plus SummerSlam and shit. Everything's all in that same building.
Yeah.
Barclay. I think SmackDown is too, so.
Barclay.
Sorry.
No, you said it like a surf boy, you know. Barclay.
We're going to start making fun of how motherfuckers talk on this show.
Well, we've done that to the South many times. We might as well do it to the West.
Dude, I am the fucking bar.
fun of me. Bar.
Yeah, I just fucking love going to the Noé José and Andrade thing. I was so baked out watching this last night, and I just love the fists on his knees, dude. Like, fists on knee pads is such a fucking absurd idea.
Yeah,
fists on my knee pads, man.
You know what? I really hope that Zelina Vega is somehow the daughter of Savio Vega. I really hope that that somehow comes into play.
Was she Vega or was she Vegas?
I thought she was Vega.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Fair enough.
She gets on the mic post match, calls out Gargano for takeover. So Almas and Gargano, I think that could steal a show, man.
It very well could, especially like you look at what he's done on the NXT roster is not really much to write home about. But like I went back and I watched La Sombra and Nakamura.
Fuck yeah!
Right after watching NXT, because I was like, you know what? I want to watch a real La Sombra match. And man, that guy's like with the mask on. It's night and day. It's as if Almas is a completely different wrestler.
Yeah.
Than what La Sombra was, and it's just you look at what he can do, and you look at what he's doing, and it's just ridiculous. Because like you look at La Sombra, I believe La Sombra was the original Los Ingobernables. Weren't they? I believe he was a part. I'm pretty sure in Mexico he was a part of the Los Ingobernables group. And then Naito brought it over to Japan. Just like, you take that. You know, it's just turn him into this. It's just, I just don't understand.
Yeah, he's fucking great, man. I remember like being stoked, you know, like, oh, he got signed. He's going to come out. And then like, even in the vignettes, it was like, you know, him setting the mask down and shit. I'm like, okay, could be cool. You know, all this shit. And
then he comes with a feather in his hat.
Well, they've getting it more on track now. Yes. Now he's more where he should be.
Yes, I agree.
And I like what he's doing in the ring. I think he's, you know.
I just wish we'd get more. I just wish we'd get more of what we used to get, you know.
If him and Gargano get 15 minutes to go, I mean, shit.
Oh, this could be a fucking barn burner.
Could be good. Could steal the show because there's not a lot of work rage stuff, you know, coming up there. So
no.
Talk about some Lucha Underground if you want.
Lucha! 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 Lucha!
Oh, fucking Lucha Underground.
Which was on fire this week, if you ask me.
It was. Rabbit Tribe. Defeated Mandel, Taya, and Mundo from the Worldwide Underground. I love Jack Evans on the outside.
Yes, he's got his signs.
Jaw's still wired shut, but he's got a dry erase board, and it's fucking great.
Yeah, like one of the times if I was in this match, we'd be winning by now. This is so good.
I love Jack Evans, man.
That guy
is great. From the second he debuted in there, too. When he came out and was just like talking shit on Lucha Libre and stuff, he's the king of Lucha Libre.
And then when he became the Dragon Slayer, when he beat Drago.
Oh my god!
Great. But I feel like Teddy Hart killed any momentum Jack Evans had of making it big.
Yeah, it's unfortunate too because he's really good, and it's unfortunate that like a lot of people don't know who he is.
Yeah. It is. It's sad.
And not only that, but like his in-ring too, as far as like pushing forward that crazy fucking style, that guy has a definite part as, you know, an early adopter of this like, you know, crazy new style fucking indie shit.
Yeah, no. But the Rabbit Tribe, they get the three Aztec medallions that they were fighting for there. So that's another shot in the eye of the winless American Underground, or whatever the fuck they're called.
Worldwide. So,
Worldwide Underground, there you go.
Yeah.
But, no, I also, there's one other part about this match I really like, too, and it was Stryker's commentary when he said that Paul London's Shooting Star Press straight down to the I don't know what exactly he said, but he talked about the Shooting Star Press bringing him straight down the rabbit hole and onto his opponent or whatever.
Yeah.
I like the analogy.
Dude, one of the best Shooting Star Presses, too. It just looks good.
Oh, fuck, is it ever.
He pulls a fucking good one. The little Worldwide Underground segment with their agent. I love this. Like, this dude calls him fucking Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, and he just hates. He hates fucking what's his name, Mandel. Hates him. I love it. I
it wasn't that match, dude. Mandel was like wearing the fucking Mundo glasses, and like somehow they don't come off. You know, he's got the bandana tied so tight that it's like he wrestled the whole match with those fucking sunglasses on.
It's so fucking absurd.
It's awesome.
It is.
Oh, we had Crane and Mil Muertes, as we talked about, one of our top five matches of the week.
Yeah, and you know what? I would go up there putting that up really close to the top of the top five, too, in my opinion. Just because it was so different than everything else.
Yeah, post-match Katrina, like, full-on kisses Crane.
I got a full-on chub, man.
Then Mil fucks his shit up. He's, you know, he's a cuck who had regrets, man. We see that happen. You know?
Yep.
Some dude's, like, down for the cuck, and then, like, once some dude starts, you know, getting in on his lady, then he regrets it.
Yeah, and it's well, and it's playing in on the whole part too, where Jeremiah Crane and Katrina were in love. They were together before, and how Jeremiah Crane wants her back, and they really good take story. It into another curve too later on, which we'll get into.
Holy shit! Right?
Yeah.
member of the FBI, not the Italian ones.
No.
Walks into Dario's office, and I thought this was cool. You know, Dario thinks he's going to get arrested. But says they have similar interests. He's Delgado's replacement since Cage smashed his head to bits. So, he's aware of that. Now Dario's aware of that. He also talks about the war, dude, which we've heard for three seasons now that this war is coming. And
yeah. And so like you've got Dario and some members of the FBI that want the gods to rule again. And that's basically where Cage comes into play by having a god entering his body through the fucking fist. Which is
right. That's
crazy.
Yeah. That's the portal for the gods.
Yeah.
Right?
And so like it seems like there's going to be a battle between, you know, two sets, and we'll get into the other set by the end of Lucha Underground. I would imagine, but this brings us to the only way to get me to watch Tejano in a match, and that's against Pentagon Dark. Which the match was pretty good.
I love the famous B. He comes like riding out like he's riding an invisible horse. Holy fuck, I laughed my ass off to that. He doesn't just walk out. He like rides an invisible horse. Tries to help Tejano with a horseshoe, but Pentagon gets it, uses it for the win.
Yeah, and then breaks Brenda's and famous B's arm.
Yeah, glorious. Yeah, he's going to break fucking Tejano's, and then famous B jumps in to help. To talk him out of it. He breaks his, leaves, comes back to break Brenda's, which is great.
Yeah.
I was like, they're not going to do that. Fuck yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, I
and
wasn't
the crowd
expecting it either.
Goes fucking wild.
Dude, they loved it. They loved it.
As
they
breaks her arm, gangster as fuck.
But,
and at the end of the show, dude, we were right, dude. Do you remember when we were talking about this shit? The relation between Katrina and the, I don't know, what is she, just like a detective, right?
Oh, yeah, what's her name? I can't remember her name now.
I don't know.
But, maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
So it basically turns out that that's her mother, and they hold both medallions, and if Katrina gets both medallions, she'll be, what happens? She'll become mortal or something like that, or?
No, the other chick will become mortal.
The other, okay, and she'll become a full-on god, or? Like what's
if she gives off her, if she gives up her half of the medallion, she will no longer be immortal. And I believe that will then make Katrina a god because she's stuck right now. She's dead, I guess, is what they're saying.
Now
she's a ghost, basically.
Well, she's dead, but she's alive at the same time. And if she gets both medallions, she'll no longer be dead at all. So, she'll become more. But let me portray. Remember when I was saying that she is Dario's mother?
Uh-huh.
They already said that she died once and brought her back to life. Boom. Matanza killed her.
We'll find out, man. We called this, though, too. We talked about the relationship between these two. Are they mother and daughter? Are they sisters? Are they... So, dude, I'm fucking... It's crazy. Like, for a wrestling fan, right, you get all of the fun of really great wrestling, but then you also get, like, fucking awesome drama storylines to it, too. Yeah, it's like
really
two shows
good.
In one, dude.
Well, it helps, too, that storylines are driven in a television fashion. You know what I mean? So you're getting your wrestling, and you're not being insulted by having these hammed up shitty segments backstage with a camera, horrible lighting. You know what I mean? It's like the way WWE does it. They just do it as if it's just a camera walking around a building, where this is set up to be like a TV show. You know, there's a contrast in colors making it look more realistic. It's a film style. It's great.
It's easy to step into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, step into the world of it and then, you know, sit, watch it. I don't know. That's crazy. I would have never even thought of that, man. Pre this, you could have gave me full reign. You start a wrestling company, do whatever you want. I would have never thought about fucking dragon people and medallions of immortality and all this shit. Then fucking spacemen who can time travel and see the future and fucking
dead women.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking awesome. I love Lucha Underground. We're what, 2 weeks away from the
finals?
So we'll get Mundo and Rey, which should be great. And also, what else is on that show?
Well, the finals of the Cueto Cup.
Oh, finals of Cueto Cup, right?
Which...
And isn't there a trios match on that, too? I think there is.
Oh, maybe. I have no idea. No clue.
So now the story is starting to fucking get good, dude.
Yes, yes. You're playing the story where, Mill almost has to go to the finals now.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And then... I don't know who would he face on the other side, because I don't have the bracket in front of me, but I would imagine this storyline kind of comes to a head with Mill in the finals against maybe Cage. Did Cage lose his match?
I think Cage is out.
Is he out? Fair enough.
I think Cage got DQ'd, didn't he?
Oh, maybe.
Him and Penta? Your Pentagon and Mill Martez?
That's the semifinals match.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my! So that's next week then. That should be good. Yeah, I'm really enjoying the next week. Should be good. We'll get both of those, and who knows what else. So, Lucha Underground, it's the shit. And if you have Netflix, you should be watching season 1 and 2 if you haven't watched the shit.
Hell yeah!
Because you're missing out. Think that is about it. Cody and Daniels in Ring of Honor. Who won that? I was watching it when we started.
Cody won. He won in... It was a 2 out of 3 falls match. Cody won in 2 straight falls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was basically saying, well, okay, Daniels out of the title picture. Done. So yeah. I would imagine...
Pretty good match, though.
Oh, it was a pretty good match, actually. I was quite surprised. But I would imagine him and the Heavy Metal Rebel will get back together and do their thing.
Or he might fucking retire. Isn't this guy like 45 years old?
He is. He is, yeah.
He looks old, man. Him and Undertaker could start a tag team, fucking grandpas and fucking eyeliner.
But the thing is with Christopher Daniels, he can still go.
Yeah, he can still go. That's fair. What else we have? Anything else? That pretty much cover the...
We hinted at something weird. Have we canceled out the weird thing?
I don't know. I guess I didn't think about it that much.
No, it is very weird. I don't know. Maybe it'll be on SCL Extra.
Maybe we'll do it we'll do it there.
Yeah.
We're gonna just shout outs and shit like that. There's nothing else in the week of wrestling, is there?
No. No, not at all.
I think we fucking covered it all. That was a lot of shit. As always, yeah, shout outs to Wrestling Suit Podcast, Sat Pod, The Strap, of course, Federation, Shooting the Shiznit, Talking About Podcasts, Out of the Van, of course, Friends of Fully Loaded Wrestling, Raw is Snore Podcast, this Viva La JD. He recaps Raw angrily and very Australian, I'm sure.
Viva La Jada.
Viva La Jada. Shout out to all of them. You check out our Hall of Fame, which Ahmed Johnson is not in, on Facebook, under the album section. We also have started archiving the SCL Top 5s over there, too, so you can go back and check those out if you like. You can send us voicemails or questions, suplexcitylimits@gmail. Maybe we'll play it on the air. What's going down in the Federation this week?
Nothing.
All right.
Nothing coming out this week.
It's the bye week.
Yes, it is. It is. The G1 is just too much. But no, next week we'll be doing an ROH show. I can't remember the name, but all I know is it's time stamped at 4 hours and 44 minutes. And
what?
Yeah, I'm not happy about that at all, because I don't like watching a 4-5 hour fucking wrestling show, and I'm pretty sure we're going to skip a lot of it. So
I don't know how much you did to sell that, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about the main stuff. Like the matches are, it's CM Punk against Terry Funk, I believe.
What?
That's yeah, and then it's Raven against Steve Corino. So it's basically Punk and Corino against Raven and Funk and their or something like that. I don't know. It's still a part of the Raven Punk storyline. It's just they're doing it in a weird way.
Should be good shit. Everyone can check that out all over anywhere. Fine podcasts are found. MoFudge.com. Listen to them shits.
Booyah.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm missing something all the time.
Well, no, there was no question this week, so there's nothing surprising us there.
Nope.
Yeah, no. No, maybe just check out the SCL Extra for that weird thing we were going to do.
Yeah, maybe. and we thank you very much for listening. So we'll be back next week to preview TakeOver, SummerSlam. We'll recap the G1 finals. Got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah. We should almost get Jared back to talk about the G1 finals.
All right. Yeah, definitely. So tune in for that. And we thank you very much for listening to the show, supporting the show. And we'll be back next week. So until then, may you get all of the dick and or pussy you desire. And remember, a winner is you. Dean and Seth were two of WWE's powerful superstars. They debuted together as a triple threat with another superstar, Roman. They later separated, and from there they wrestled separately. Dean and Seth instantly clicked together as best friends. But not only were they best friends, they were more friends with benefits. Dean and Seth were most definitely straight. They just had a weird attraction to one another. And they made sure they both gave one another love. Tons of it. Tonight was the night of WrestleMania, the biggest event in WWE history, watched in every single country, in all languages. Dean and Seth knew this was a big night. They had to face one another. They constantly told one another they couldn't wait to feel each other up and down the whole match. Ding, 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 goes the bell. Dean and Seth come out and fight with each other, loving it, all of it. Seth won the match, his first WrestleMania moment, and he won. They both got backstage and went into the empty changing room to get changed. This locker room was at the end of the arena. Nobody goes in there, so they knew they were safe to do whatever they pleased. Seth slowly taking off Dean's clothes while licking his lips, and Dean doing the same to Seth once they were both naked and completely rock hard. They both had turns sucking one another off. They love that, and they always have. Oh yes, Dean, baby, suck this big dick, Seth moaned. As Dean sure made his wish come true, sucking him off and almost making Seth ejaculate into his mouth. Dean then stopped, and Seth sucked off Dean aggressively. Dean always loved it hard and rough. While Seth's sucking, he looks up into Dean's eyes. He rubs his hands all over his rock-hard body. Then Seth stops and bends over. Slowly, Dean comes over and puts his rock-hard cock in his tight asshole. Seth screams in pleasure. Oh, fuck yes. Fuck me harder, daddy. And Dean had no problem with making that wish come true as well. Dean pulls out and ejaculates on Seth's face, and Seth does the same to Dean. They lifted off each other's face, put their clothes on, and walked out of the locker room smiling.
I'm hard.
I don't know about you right now, but I'm fucking hard, dude.